Christ. I deem it a privilege tonight to be standing here behind the sacred dress and grounded by a pastor, Brother Jeff Jenkins. I've heard a lot. I've seen Brother Jeff Jenkins preaching. He was ministering even our church in South Africa. And tonight I've actually had the opportunity to shake his hand. And may God richly bless him. We know Brother Lonnie Jenkins. It was years back we met in South Africa, and he's really been a blessing to the saints down in Cape Town. And tonight I just want to bring greetings from the believers down in Cape Town, from the Bible Tabernacle, and our pastor, Brother Harold Beckett. And we trust God tonight he'll bless us by the way of his word. Yes. Amen. While we are standing, let's turn to our Bibles for scripture reading. Let's turn to the book of Matthew chapter 24. We'll read from verses 3 to 8. And Revelation chapter 6, verses 7 to 8. Matthew chapter 24, verses 3 to 8. We have the scripture reading. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Let's also turn to Revelation chapter 6, verses 7 to 8. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, Come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Amen. Shall we bow our heads? Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful tonight that we can be gathered in your presence. And Lord, we are so thankful, O God, for this hour that we are living in. We thank you, O God, for the message that you've sent our way. And we are so grateful, O God, for a prophet, a vindicated prophet. Lord God, that you've sent, O God, to call forth a bride in this last day. And O God, to prepare people, O God, for a rapture, for the changing of the body. And Lord, as we've read the scriptures tonight, Lord, as your prophet taught us that any man with physical strength can turn the pages of the Bible, but Lord, it takes him that was worthy to take the book and to loose the seven seals thereof to bring out the context of your word. We pray tonight, Father, may you come and bless your word to our hearts. Lord, may it be a blessing, may it be an encouragement to someone here tonight, Lord. And Father, above all, may you be glorified in our midst tonight as we commit the service into your loving and tender care. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now tonight, for a title, I'd like to call it Signs of the Exodus. Now we find that God regulates the elements. God regulates nature in order that it can coincide with his word. And the Bible says that all things work together for the good to them that love the Lord. So whatever happens upon the earth, whatever happens in the time that we are living in, it's all working together for the good, for the fulfillment of God's word. Now tonight we just like to have a look at, as we titled it, the signs of the Exodus. Now the prophet of God says that things that are taking place in the last days. They are the same things that took place in Egypt just before the Exodus. It was a shadow. In other words, it was a scene that was set. So when this thing repeats itself again, when this becomes a reality in the future, there's got to be a prophet in order to identify the season and the time of the fulfillment of what took place as a shadow in the Old Testament. So we find that the prophet of God showed us back there to what has happened. And he's the only one that's qualified to tell us that we have reached that hour. When that thing happened here, this is the hour for that scripture to be fulfilled. Now, the Brother Branham says that the whole Egyptian system had become corrupt. What did God do? God sent them an anointed messenger to fulfill the word at that time. We find it was at the time that the pillar of fire appeared at the burning bush. And Moses had to go into the desert in order that he would have that visitation of the pillar of fire. And it was at that burning bush when Moses received his commission. Amen. And we find that Brother Branham had to go west. He had to go into the desert in order that he could meet up with those seven angels. Amen. There he received his commission to go back. Those seals that were sealed from the foundation of the world would be revealed. So we find that that prophet, as Moses went to the desert, the end time prophet went into the desert. Amen. And God told Moses, I've heard the cries of my people. I remember my promise to Abram. But I've come down, amen, to keep my promise. But Moses, I'm sending you. So Moses was God veiled in a man to go and speak to the children of Israel at the time of the Exodus. Amen. Brother Branham came at the end time according to the fulfillment of promises that God had made to the end time. Amen. He came to fulfill the word. Amen. And we find it was at the time that the pestilences were ushered in when the prophet appeared on the scene. Amen. We find Moses was a sign that the Lord had come in that day to bring deliverance to the children of Israel. Amen. Like as the other, our prophet at the end time, his coming on the scene was a sign that the Exodus was on. Hallelujah. Amen. Moses was a sign of the Exodus to the children of Israel, but he was a sign of judgment to Egypt. William Branham was a sign of deliverance to the bride of Jesus Christ, the royal seed of Abram. But he was also a sign of judgment to those who rejected the message of the hour. Amen. So when Moses appeared on the scene, it was a sign that the Exodus was on. When our prophet appeared on the scene, it was a sign that the rapture was at hand. Amen. Remember that pillar of fire? It was a pillar of fire by day. A pillar of fire by night. But it was a pillar of cloud by day. And that angel appeared, it seemed like a hand upon the head of the prophet. Amen. In 1933, it came out of the dark church ages, where it was stars and moon. But we find in 1963, he appeared as a cloud. Amen. Heralding the dawning of a new day for the bride of Jesus Christ. Issuing in the bride age. Hallelujah. The age that we have entered another dispensation. A day of shalom. As the scripture says, rise, shine, for thy light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Amen. When Moses appeared on the scene, it was also a sign when the spoken word was manifested. God brought creation into existence by the mouth of a prophet. Amen. Was a sign of the Exodus. When William Branham appeared on the scene, God had the first bull, the second bull, and the third bull. Amen. He spoke squirrels into existence. He got control over nature. What was it showing us? That God had appeared in our midst at the end time. God was coming to lead his people into an exodus. Because what William Branham did, it was beyond a man to do that. It took God himself to come on the scene in order to lead the elect, the royal seed of Abraham, into this exodus. Amen. It was also a time of the interruption of nature. See? So we find that national disasters at that time had declared the coming of the Lord. Because with every natural disaster, there was a supernatural voice behind it saying, "Let my people go." Amen. Amen. The message was urgent. It was the time of the Exodus. And we find that every Exodus is accompanied by pestilence, interruption of nature, and death. Those are signs of the Exodus. And we find that in Egypt, there were 10 plagues that were poured out upon Egypt. The first plague was a plague upon the waters. Amen. Turning the water into blood. Now, Brother Branham says here, in why was it shepherds? He says the first sign he gave this prophet shepherd was to turn his rod into a serpent. The second sign, his hand turning into leprosy. But the third sign was when the water of the Nile was turned into blood. He says he gave him three signs to vindicate to Egypt, also to Israel, that he was God's spoken word. Moses was God's spoken word prophet. William Branham was God's spoken word prophet for this day. He was the fulfillment of all the promises that God had made in this day. And all those promises were interpreted in the life of William Branham. Amen. He says, now remember, Moses called into creation. That's right. Picked up sand and threw it up in the air. Says that fleas come and fleas came. Said that flies come and flies came. Let frogs come and frogs came. He says he brought into creation. Now a man cannot create. But it wasn't a man to begin with. It was Jehovah in his prophet shepherd. Amen. Amen. So this was not a doings of a man. This was God himself appearing upon the scene. Jehovah, the one who exists with his family, coming to show himself in our midst, showing us that the Exodus is upon us. He says the third sign was a sign of death. Water turning into blood. If your blood turned into water, then you would die. And where there's blood, the shed of blood, it's a sign of death. See? Was to show his message to Pharaoh that our God is a God over the Nile. And that's what I believe God came to prove at the end time. We have 900 different religions, but he came to prove that he is the only true and living God. Amen. And that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is still the healer of the sick. He is still the one can bring life to the dead. He is still the one that can bring creation into existence. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. See? He's God over the Nile. He's over everything. And he's going to bring death to that nation. That's what the sign of blood was. And brother and sister, the end time prophet was not only a sign of death to a nation, but he was a sign of death to all the nations of the world. It was a sign of the end. When he came on the scene, it was the beginning of the end. Hallelujah. God was now finishing off his work of redemption. There's no more messengers to come on the scene. This is the last message that we'll ever hear from God. It's the message of the hour. Hallelujah. And I'm so glad that God opened my eyes to the truth of this message. Amen. That God has revealed his truth unto us. And we are here tonight because of a message that God had sent unto us in the end time. Hallelujah. Now the second plague, he says, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. And my friend says a frog symbolizes an evil spirit. Amen. He's always looking back. You know that trinity of frogs. Amen. So we find, brothers and sisters, that's exactly what's over the world today. People have lost their mind. There's a spirit that has got a hold of the world. There's no morality anymore. There's no more dignity anymore. The world is absolutely corrupt. There's a spirit upon the people. The third plague was smite the dust of the land that it may become lice throughout the land of Egypt. It's a plague of insects. The fourth plague, he says here, if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies. See? Insects. The fifth plague was upon the animals. Behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle, as in the field, the horses upon the asses, the camels upon the oxen, and upon the sheep. There shall be a very grievous murrain. See? A plague upon the animals. The sixth plague was a plague upon humans. And it shall come to become, he says here, and let Moses sprinkle it towards the heaven and the sight of Pharaoh. And it shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt and shall be a boil breaking forth with blains upon man. See? And upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt. The plague upon humans. See, our God is a God of righteousness, but He's also a God of judgment. Amen. And the seventh plague is the plague of the interruption of the weather pattern. And here Exodus 9 verse 18. Behold, tomorrow about this time, I will cause it to rain very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Now let's just look at the words that God uses here. Yeah? Such as not been in Egypt previously. In other words, there was a change to the regular trend. And a word that we most commonly hear today, it has never been this way before. Look at the weather. It has never been this way before. So many times we use the term. What is it, brother? It was used for the first time in the Exodus. It has never been this way before. And now it's a commonly used word. The weather patterns. It has never been as hot as this before. It has never rained as this before. There's never been as much floods as this before. It's a sign of the Exodus. Hallelujah. And the next plague, the eighth plague, is a destruction of plant life in Exodus 10:12. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come upon the land of Egypt and eat every herb of the land, even all that the hail had left. God had destroyed everything. There was no meat. There was no plant life. God came and He destroyed everything. And brothers and sisters, that is what the world is concerned about today, is about the food supply. They had a meeting in Italy to discuss the food problem of the world. They haven't got enough food to supply the world. So the world is in problems. And the ninth plague in Exodus 10:21, and the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand towards heaven, and there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. Darkness before the Exodus in Egypt. When Jesus died on Calvary, there was darkness. Amen. Amen. There was an eclipse right at that time. When the Exodus was in Egypt, there was an eclipse right at that time. It shows that God's Exodus is exactly on time. God is not a second late, not a second early, but He works according to nature. He works everything according to His divine purpose. He regulates it in order to fulfill His word. Amen. And we find that here at the end time, when the Pope went to Rome, God showed those seven phases of the moon. He actually only showed the six phases. But the last one was total blackout. Brother Branham still left a little white, amen, little
white shadow in the moon for the seventh phase. But God totally blacked it out. The earth had come in the path of the sun and the moon, being a type of the church. A total blackout of the gospel light to the church. Amen. Hallelujah. And God declared it in the heavens. At that time of the Exodus. Look at what Brother Branham says under the sixth seal. He says, let us remember something here. These great happenings to nature has happened before. The sun became as black as sackcloth. Now remember, that does not happen in the Gentiles. It's Israel. Talking about the tribulation. Let me show you, remember, it's calling out the 144,000. This time now, it's when the tribulation, which is to do it. And this is telling what happens in this tribulation. See? Now, let me just turn here to another quotation, the sixth seal. Just exactly like it came over here. The sun became as black as sackcloth. See? Same thing. These happenings in nature, what is it? When nature happens like this, has been God's calling Israel out. See? And the sun became as black as sackcloth. Now God was about to deliver Israel there. Bring them out of the enemy's hand, which was Egypt. See, God uses nature, the elements, for His purpose, for His glory. Amen. See? He's bringing them out of the Roman hands. When they made their covenant, same things happen. In other words, Israel is going into a covenant with Rome. And it's at that time when the two messengers, amen, those two prophets will appear upon the scene. And nature, Brother Branham says, will take a tumble. Their power to shut the heavens. Their power to do whatsoever they wish to on the other side of the rapture. But now we are looking on this side of the rapture. See? Now the last plague in Egypt was the plague of death. In Exodus chapter 11 verse 4. And Moses says, thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out in the midst of Egypt. And all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. Amen. After all the plagues, the last plague was death. See? Now Moses came to fulfill God's promise in that Exodus. See? Moses came as the promise that God had made to Abram. Moses came to manifest that promise. And he did what God promised that he would do. He was God's anointed promise for the day. That's why Brother Branham could constantly turn back to the scripture as it was in the days of Lot. Amen. As it was, you know, the Bible promises these things. He was that promise anointed for our day. See, God said He was going to judge Egypt. And there was Moses. Amen. Stood there as God to bring the word of deliverance to the children of Israel. And that last plague in Egypt was natural death to the firstborn in the land of Egypt. But we find in the last day, that last plague is spiritual death. See? So the final plague that strikes the earth is spiritual death. And the only way, amen, of escape was by the blood of the Lamb. And in the last day, it's a token, the literal life of Jesus Christ. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Hallelujah. See? It was a time when the death angel was riding through the land to kill the firstborn, amen, that were not under the blood of the Lamb. And this is what Brother Branham says in 1953 in a message called God's Provided Way. He says, and I tell you, brother, if there was ever a time that the death angel is riding the land, it is tonight. He comes to the church door where the priest stands. And the church that's denying the blood and the power of Jesus Christ. This message is the blood today. Amen. Amen. This is our protection. Yeah. There's no atomic bomb shelter that's going to protect you in this day. But Abraham says, when you go beneath the earth into an atomic shelter, he says the very shock will loose every bone in your body. So there's no protection other than the blood of Jesus. Amen. It's the only way of protection. Hallelujah. Amen. See? He says the glory of God hath departed. The death angel goes and settles it. They become formal, dead, and denying God's power. See? God's power for today is the message of the hour. It is the only power to bring deliverance. It's the only power that can protect you. Is the protection of the blood of Jesus. God's word for this day. And the first thing you know, see, death is over the whole group of them. You'll never get them to believe anything. They can't believe it. Amen. And Brother Abraham says every time that man went under that door where the blood was applied, he never left there until he got marching orders. Amen. That's why, brother and sister, once we get under that blood of the Lamb, once we are sealed in by the Holy Spirit, amen, we stay there until this body has changed from mortal to immortality. Until we are changed. Hallelujah. We cannot pop in on a Sunday and leave on a Monday. No, we must stay under the blood where the devil can do you no harm. Hallelujah. See? But the prophet says, as midnight struck, there came a strange feeling over the whole land of Egypt. And I believe, brothers and sisters, there's a strange feeling over the whole world today. There's uncertainty. People don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. They see the weather patterns are changing. They see the times, the economics, everything is failing. There's a strange feeling that has come upon the world today. People are starting to feel funny. Hallelujah. He says the young girls at the dances started running home. They never took heed to the prophet's message to get under the blood and stay under the blood. Amen. But instead of that, they wandered off into the world. They went back into the world. Hallelujah. And that when they realized that something was wrong, they wanted to go back under the protection of the blood. But it was too late, because the death angel was already striking, was already going through the streets of Egypt. Hallelujah. And the big black wings of death was moving through the air. Now Jesus prophesied it would be the same at the end time. Jesus said there would be a time of the beginning of sorrows, pestilence. In other words, there will be a pre-tribulation period. See, this is only the beginning of sorrows. You see, there's a phasing in of the great tribulation. But we can see the signs around us. That's why it says, when you see these things going on around you, look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. Amen. We see the signs of the Exodus is upon the world today. And the world are pulling their hair out. They don't know what to do. But if they would only receive the message, they would know what's happening, what the signs are foretelling. It's a time of the Exodus. It's a time that God's promises are to be fulfilled. Hallelujah. When the bride is to be taken off the scene. Amen. Brother Branham says here, in God's provided way. And if there's ever a time that the black winds is struck the country today, we've had earthquakes, we've had pestilence, we've had all kinds of things that could come to this land. And all like it did in Egypt, but the last plague that hit Egypt was death. And the last plague that hits the church today is spiritual death. You know, the most dangerous part of spiritual death is that people still believe they are saved. People still believe that they are Christians. People still believe that they are born again. But they are living under a delusion. Your salvation comes by God's revelation, by God's word for the hour. This message is our salvation. There's no salvation anywhere outside of the message of the hour. The message is the blood. The message is your security. The message is your token. Hallelujah. When I see the blood, the Holy Ghost anointing the word in the believer's heart, this is the truth. Hallelujah. This is what he says in the invasion of the United States of America, preached in 1954. He says, we are living in the shadows of the time. It could happen at any time. When we see the times come for things to take place, pestilence, the very wickedness of the enemy, the very powers, we look at these snowstorms. Look at the prophet of God. He looks at the conditions of nature. Now, which preacher is qualified to do that but a prophet of God? He looks at the conditions and he compares it with the word. He says, and everything's a happening. All these pestilences, all these different things, that's all caused by these interruptions of the firing of these bombs and things. They are getting things all mixed up here. And they are messing around in God's great big laboratory to fulfill the word of God. And he says, it's going to happen. So what is Brother Brown speaking about here? They are messing around in God's laboratory. They are firing these bombs. We find in this day, there's a big talk about global warming. Now when God put the earth into position, he gave the earth a protective covering. It protects us against the harmful rays of the sun. It moderates the strength of the rays of the sun as it strikes the earth. But what has man done through commerce and industry? Amen. There was so much carbon dioxide and greenhouse gases that's been released into the atmosphere that it has caused holes to be formed in this ozone layer. And what has happened? They have absolutely destroyed that protection that God had put around the earth. Now the rays of the sun comes directly upon the earth. We get skin cancer because there's no more that protection against that ultraviolet rays of the sun. You see? And what does it cause? The interruptions. It's disrupted the weather patterns. Seasons are not what like they used to be. Things are not in this ought to be condition. The weather patterns are not correct. Who does the destruction of man? Man destroys himself. God does not destroy man. So man, through commerce and industry, has destroyed that protective covering that God has placed around the earth. And today, people are troubled at the condition of the earth. They are trying to find solution to the global warming. And brother and sister, they have no solution to it. It has so far gone, they cannot help themselves. And the prophet of God says, God has allowed it. They have scratched in his laboratory, but they are getting things all mixed up, and it's going to fulfill the word of God. Hallelujah. There are some things here I got off from the internet, which I would like to share with you tonight. About this concern of global warming. Now we've heard the plagues that was in Egypt. Now we just want to focus our attention upon these things which science has now discovered. Food crops could be ravaged this century by an explosion in the numbers of insect pests caused by rising global temperature. According to scientists who have carried out an exhaustive survey of plant damage, when the earth last experienced major climate change, researchers found that the numbers of leaf-eating insects are likely to surge as a result of the levels of CO2, carbon dioxide. At a time when the crop of production will have to be boosted to feed an extra 3 billion people at the end of the 21st century. When we need it, we find that because of this condition of global warming, the population growth of insects are growing, especially the leaf-eating insects. This is what it says here further. The climate temperature has risen about a degree Fahrenheit around the whole world. In the northern hemisphere, the spring ice thaw happened 9 days sooner than what it did 150 years ago. In other words, it has never been this way before. The freeze will happen in the fall begins 10 days later than it did. The decade of the 1990s was the warmest decade since the 1800s. The hottest years on record were 1997, 1998, 2001, 2002, 2003. Over a very long period in Greenland, the hugest ice sheet, if melted, holds enough water to raise the sea level about 23 feet. It's going to change your coastal borders. It's going to set new boundaries because of the amount of water that's going to be released into the ocean. They say some climate models say that the global warming may cause more extreme weather, more intense hurricanes, and storm surges that may threaten the coastal areas. Amen. See? Heat waves, fires, droughts may become more common. By the year 2050, the rising temperatures, the act of humans, and other greenhouse effects could have more than a million of the Earth's land-dwelling plants and animals into extinction. Global warming has had a surprising impact on the Great Lakes areas of the United States. More snow. A comparative study of snowfall records in and outside the Great Lakes region indicated a significant increase in snowfall in the Great Lakes region since the 1930s, but no such increase in the non-Great Lake areas. Brothers and sisters, times are changing. Amen. Weather patterns are changing. Things are not what they were a couple of hundred years ago. They say, is global warming making hurricanes more ferocious? New research suggests the answer is yes. Scientists call the findings both surprising and alarming because they suggest global warming is influencing storms now rather than later. Even on the continent of America, I read in the newspaper once that up till that stage there were 50. There were already 70 recorded tornadoes. In previous years, there were only 50 tornadoes. Brother and sister, things are getting out of hand. The weather is changing. Just excuse me for a minute. He says, this year marked the first time on record that the Atlantic spawned four named storms by early July, as well as the earliest category of four storm on the record. Hurricanes are ranked on an intensity of 1 to 5, and they recorded the grade 4 storm. In the past decade, the southeastern United States and the Caribbean basin have been pummeled by the most active hurricane cyclone on record. Forecasters expect the stormy trend to continue for another 20 years. Brother and sister, things are changing. Weather patterns are changing. Conditions are changing. But are these things alarming us? No. It creates an expectation within us. We say, Lord, send changes. Whatever happens, it's all happening for our good. We are saying like John did on the Isle of Patmos, even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. He's all these things happening upon the earth. And we are here upon the earth tonight. We are seeing these things happening before us. But brother and sister, God has called us into a place of protection. We are under the cover of His wings. These things are only signs to us. Hallelujah. I'll get to that quotation now. But Abraham says in the second coming of the Lord, no matter how well we try to take care of our physical being, no matter how hard we work for our organization, how hard we work in the church, our orders of the church, there's coming a time when all these things will vanish away. Jesus began to tell them that, said, what will be the sign of the coming of the end of the world? And Jesus spoke to them, the time will come when there will not be one stone left upon the other. That was when the time of Titus. You shall hear wars and rumors of wars, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places. He said the other day I was in California up in Oakland, when it was our privilege to be in a meeting, and it was the first time that my wife and I experienced an earthquake. I was sitting in the barber shop. The room shook a little. The radio quickly announced an earthquake was on, and says they are looking for another one. And I thought, oh, what if that is the last one? And when the second one took place, Brother Branham says, that is the finger of Almighty God saying, the handwriting is on the wall. He says, Jesus said, when you hear of earthquakes in diverse places, look at what happened in China the other day. It's happening more frequently around the world. See? The earth split open down the highway for a long ways for about 5 feet. And went way down, hundreds of feet in the earth. One place, an entire highway dropped in. And I looked at split open. And I could just almost see the finger of Almighty God saying, and there shall be earthquakes in diverse places. There was a prophet that could discern the sign of the time. He looked at nature. And he could see that nature was already announcing the coming of the Lord. Listen to what he says here. Signs of his coming. Oh, it's a great day that we are now living in. It's not a sea of people sign to us, brother and sister. To us, it's a great day. It's a day, it's signs of our deliverance. It's a sign of the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. Earthquakes in diverse places, pestilence, all these things Jesus spoke of here. To my way of seeing it, I don't see anything left, but the coming of the Lord is at hand. So the prophet connects the condition of nature with the coming of the Lord. And he's the only one that's qualified to do that. Amen. That's why I'm saying what he said. See? As we find in the days of Moses, his coming was ushered in with pestilence, disturbance of nature. It was a sign that the Exodus was on. And here the prophet was looking back to what Jesus said and examining the condition of nature to establish, to confirm that that time that Jesus spoken about, we are here, we are right at the time when it's happening. In the 70 weeks of Daniel, the prophet says, there's not even the width of a knife blade between the end of this age and the coming of the Lord. He said this in 1961. Amen. Everything, there's nothing left. Is Israel in the homeland? We know that. Are we in the Laodicean age? Has the message of the Pentecostal age went forth to try to shake the people back to the original Pentecostal blessing? Has every messenger come through the last age exactly the same thing? Is nation against nation? Pestilence. Is there a famine in the land today? The true church driving hundreds of miles seeking to hear the word of God. Not for bread alone, see? Why? We are living in the middle of that right now. We are here. We are waiting for that stone. He knew it was a time for the Lord to come. It was a time for that cloud to appear. For the visitation of the angels. The coming of the Lord was at hand. He was watching the sign. When these things appear, look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. Hallelujah. In 1962, with the lining up of the planets, the prophet says, what's happened? Just to show you how that God, He regulates everything. He works in the natural realm, and at the same time, He's working in the supernatural realm. So that both these realms are working together. One for the judgment, and the other one for the exodus, for the deliverance, like it was in Egypt. There were judgments at that time, but there was also a message of the Exodus, a token, a prophet to the children of Israel to prepare people for the Exodus. He says here, we see the roar in the paper, across the television, across the nation, where five stars just fell in line with the word. What's five? The number of grace. Every time those stars come in, something happens on the earth. What taking place? Five stars. What's introducing of what? Now listen, what happened in the astronomical heaven had an impact of what was happening on the earth. Since then, just look what took place. Germany almost washed off the map. Some of the major said the earth would burst like a watermelon. Every distressful thing prophesied by them for the last days. Look what's taken place. England the other day had a storm that blew away 70,000 houses in one day. And brothers, it's not just a couple of months ago, England had that same problem. They had a storm on the west that caused such so much devastation. Amen. He says, disasters everywhere. California, Los Angeles, like to have washed into the ocean. What is it? The beginning of sorrows.
Amen.
Amen. A pre-tribulation condition. You see, because the real sorrow is when the tribulation period strikes. But then the bride is taken out of the way.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But we see the signs of it happening. We are moving now in that channel. The world is preparing now for a tribulation period. Amen. See? Earthquakes has picked up everywhere. What is it? Five stars came in line. Grace, God's grace. What happened? An infant church, a bride, that the power of God has begun to fall upon her.
Yes.
Hallelujah. A bride for the bridegroom. Three stars meant his perfection of the Heavenly Father, of the Trinity becoming one on earth.
Yes.
Now remember, Brother Branham was born at the same sign that Jesus was. Because when Brother Branham was born, there was the lining up of those three stars. And that soothsayer said, there's a supernatural sign that follows you. And that sign is a very peculiar sign. You see? And that sign happened when Jesus was born. So in other words, it was a sign that that supernatural God was going to come and manifest himself again upon the earth through the ministry of the prophet. You see, brothers and sisters, this ministry is not hidden under a table somewhere. Or maybe in a corner. This, the heavens declare the coming of the bride into existence. The heavens declare the coming of this Messiah at the end time. The Bible says the heavens declare His glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm excited about this message.
Amen.
Amen. You know, God is the author and the finisher. He has everything under His control.
Amen.
Amen. That's why the rapture will be exactly on time.
Amen.
Not a minute too soon or a minute too late. Amen. He says here, what happened now? It's church of the living God coming together under the word of God, and the astronomic heaven is announcing her approach.
Amen.
The astronomic heaven announced your coming into being, forming the bride upon the earth. But God declared it in the heavens. Hallelujah. Might not believe that, but that's what the word says the same. Yes. Nature acknowledged the coming forth of the bride at the end time. Hallelujah. Brother Branham says, what's happening? I must say this, friends. The church is coming forth. God's going to have a church without spot or wrinkle. She's predestinated. Amen. He says that would make it right. Who's a member? I don't know. I'm trusting to be there myself. And I believe that these latter-day signs and things that's happening, every one of them is peeling together to show the church is ready to come. Christ is ready to come for His bride. It's God in His Word made manifest in a perfect man. See? So is God and His Word becoming again and making Himself manifested in a bride.
Amen.
Amen. She will become Him. She will become the very revelation of who He is. Amen. But Abraham goes as far to say is that she is Him.
Amen.
Whatever He was is now manifested in a multi-membered bride of Jesus Christ throughout the world. Hallelujah. It's the supernatural body of believers where the word is becoming flesh in your flesh.
Amen.
Amen. He says, not will do like Eve, the hybrid to something else, but the unadulterated word of God will be born into that church, and she'll stand like Jesus did with His Spirit, anointing in His word. Amen. I believe that the announcement is now. The heavens declared your coming. Hallelujah. In the message called Perseverance, preached in 1962, Brother Branham said, God, we say, send Jesus quickly. Come, Lord Jesus. And now we see nature, the very sign like the star that led the wise men to Bethlehem on the move again. Jesus said, there'll be a perplexity of time. Distress between nations, signs in the heaven and earth, sea roaring, great storms, tidal waves, earthquakes in diverse places. These things are buzzers that sets our heart alarm. Lord, that we may know to be ready, we don't know what minute or hour it will happen. Nature is heralding the coming of the Lord. Amen. There are signs of His coming. Amen. And the signs of our going. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, and in 1963, in a message called "The World is Falling Apart Again," listen to what Brother Branham says. He says, "There stood a man, just an ordinary man, like you and I, got the word from God and went out there and spoke creation into existence." Now, Brother Branham's not saying I'm the man, but the way he details things, the way he explains it, he wants your spiritual eye to catch something. Pick up the sand and said, "Let fleas come to the earth." And the word of God through the prophet's mouth, being it was the right hour that it was supposed to be. In other words, if Moses came in any other hour, it would never work. He would never be able to say, "Fleas come forth, frogs come forth." But the hour was there for it to happen. And under that anointing, he could speak creation into existence. Fleas covered the whole earth. He covered the earth with frogs, with lice. He covered all kinds of pestilence and things. Because God had made the promise. And the hour was there for it to be anointed. And the anointed word for that hour that they lived in. See? That's why the word could manifest the way it did. Because the word was promised, and that was time for the word to be manifested. The anointing was there. That's what we need today. It's not back to some seminary, but for the anointed word of the hour that we live in to bring forth Jesus Christ to the world again, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says there's a program that's laid out for this day. Amen. "Behold, I send unto Elijah the prophet. As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days when the Son of Man shall be revealed." Amen. Amen. All those mysteries of redemption were sealed up. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he had declared to his servants the prophet. And did it happen, brother and sister? Yes. We are living here as a witness. Amen. We are here, we can bear testimony that all those scriptures have been fulfilled. Amen. One time Brother Branham stood to the in front of the audience. And he says, "There is a promise. As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days when the Son of Man shall be revealed." He says, all that it needs is a manifestation. And he turned his back to the congregation. And he started discerning the hearts of the people. What was he doing? The one that appeared in Genesis 18 was the same one that was appearing in our midst. Calling forth the royal seed of Abraham for this last exodus at the end time. Hallelujah. Nations are breaking. Israel's awakening. The signs that the prophets foretold. The Gentile days numbered with horrors encumbered. Return, O disperse to your own. Brother and sister, we are living in a glorious day. Amen. Sages of old have longed to see what we see. Prophets of old have longed to experience what we are experiencing. We are a most privileged people. Amen. We are living right at the time. Amen. Of the changing of the body. We are living right at the time of the exodus of God's bride at the end time. Amen. In 1960, Abraham says here in the unveiling of God. Listen now how the prophet prays. Let's pray. His Lord Jesus, thy word is truth. And in this troublesome hour that we are living in, nation against nation, pestilence, earthquakes in many places, men's hearts failing for fear. We see the handwriting on the wall. Now that's in the natural realm. That's for the world to see. But now there's a spiritual realm also. And we see the great happenings. And we want to speak on them today. Amen. So there's something for the world to see. But there's also something for the bride to see. It's God's revealed word for this day. Amen. This is our revival. The message of the coming of the Lord. Amen. Amen. The opening of the seals. Christ has come back. Amen. Amen. That's why to the world, it's judgment. It's pestilence. But to the bride, it's an exodus. Amen. The Lord gathering His people into Goshen. Amen. With a voice, "Let my people go." He's still out there trying to bring in that last one. Amen. And nature, amen, is showing the signs of the time. Brother and sister, it won't be long. That's why I believe we have conventions, we have family camps, we have all these things happening around us, so that we can draw closer. Closer, brother and sister. We see the signs around us. Amen. To us, it's not a fearful sign, but it's a sign of expectation. A sign, a longing, amen, hallelujah. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen, hallelujah. This is what it says in this day. This scripture is fulfilled. Notice, another great sign, the Jews are in their homeland. See? Their nation, their own money, a member of the United Nations. They got their own army. See? They're in their homeland. Jesus said, learn of a parable. There they are, right back in their nation. This day, the scripture is fulfilled. The Jews in their homeland, this day, the scripture is fulfilled. Laodicean age, this day, the scripture is fulfilled. The world is in corruption. The whole thing, nation against nation, earthquakes in diverse places, great whirlwinds coming down, shaking the nations and so forth, great disasters everywhere. This day, the scripture is fulfilled. Amen. Amen. We are living in a time where the sorrows are becoming worse and worse and worse. It's the time of the ushering in of the great tribulation period. Amen. But nothing can happen. Amen. While the bride is still here. Why? The bride is in Goshen. Amen. We'll get to that now. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, Jesus asked, what will be the sign of your coming? And look what Jesus said here. They asked three questions. When shall be these things be? What shall be the sign of your coming? What's the end of the world? And he came right down and he pulled every one of them. But every one of them, what was that? The seventh seal. Amen. He said nothing about the seventh seal. So the conditions of nature and the sign that we are living under, brother and sister, it's part of the coming of the Lord. Yes, remember, they're asking, what will be the sign of your coming? So the condition that nature is in, it's a sign that the seals are open. Amen. The seven seals are broken. Right. But Abraham says the seventh seal ends up everything. Ends up time, it ends up the ushering of the millennium, it ends up all things. And all these things, brother and sister, we are living under the open seal. Amen. Amen. We are living under the mystery of His coming. Yes. Amen. Amen. And the mystery has been revealed to the bride. Amen. She's the only one that's been attracted to the message of His coming. Hallelujah. Amen. We can say our eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. Amen. She's caught by the mystery that's been revealed unto her by the prophet messenger of the last day. To the world, they have missed the sign. They have missed the day of visitation. But to the bride, she has seen her day. She's seen the messenger. She's seen the prophet. She's seen the signs that she's living under. Amen. It excites her. Why? Because it's a sign of the coming of the Lord. It's a sign of the rapturing of the church. Amen. He says the last plague was death. See? Now pestilence and death. And when he opened the fourth seal, see? It's the pale horse rider. And look and behold, the pale horse rider. And his name was death. Now remember, it was that eagle that came under that fourth seal. See? That eagle, messenger. But to the world, it's death and destruction. But the eagle comes, amen, not only just to bring judgment, but also to bring the deliverance. See? Death followed him, and power was given unto him over the four parts of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Amen. It's all in line with the exodus of the church. We see it in Egypt, and we see that same thing. The opening of the seals came to reveal it. Amen. Under that fourth seal is death, and it's the pale horse rider. And pale is a mixture of white, red, and black. And you get your pale color of death. Amen. Which is gray. It's a sign for the last day. Amen. That's why to the bride, it's the coming of the Lord. The sign of His coming. The exodus is on. He says here in questions and answers on Genesis, somebody asked Brother Branham a question. He speaks of the sun being darkened. The moon shall not give a light. The star shall fall from heaven. Will this happen before or after the rapture? Or just before Jesus comes? Brother Branham answers. Matthew 24 there. Jesus speaking of stars, things falling. I believe that is just before the tribulation period sets in. He says, now look, the Old Testament, when you see the plagues falling, they were in Egypt, wasn't they? And God was bringing his people out to the promised land. See? And Israel never received one plague. See? Before it went, they went into Goshen. Now our Goshen is this message. The Bible says the name of the Lord is a mighty tower. The righteous run in and they are safe. We are in Goshen. Because not one atomic bomb can drop while the bride is here. This message and the bride is keeping the world still together. Amen. But Abraham says when the bride is taken off the scene, then the judgments of God start pouring out over the earth. It's all over. It's finished.
Amen.
Amen. But while that bride is still here, amen, while he's still out there waiting for that last one to come in, she's under the protection in Goshen. Amen. This message is our Goshen. Hallelujah. Is that right? He says the sun never did dim out. No mosquitoes come there. No frogs was there. No lice was there. No storms was there. No lightning was there. No killing of cattle was there. Everything they had was preserved in Goshen.
Amen.
It's the only place where death cannot strike. It's under this message.
Right.
Under the token.
Yeah.
Under the blood.
Yeah.
We are in a place of safety.
Yeah.
But when the bride is raptured, it's all over. See? It was a type of the church going before the tribulation period. Jesus said, when these things begin to come to pass, lift up your heads. Your redemption is nigh. See? He says, I believe that the moon and the sun and the stars, see? I believe it takes place just before the tribulation period. The rapture does not happen all of a sudden upon us. The rapture is already in process. Likewise, the tribulation doesn't come all of a sudden. There is a beginning stage. Jesus says, it's the beginning of sorrow. There's a phasing in period. Amen. We see the signs that are around us. It will only get worse when the bride is taken off the scene. See? In the token message, Brother Branham says, the coming out of Egypt, as I said a few minutes ago, is a type of the bride coming out of the church. When Moses began his ministry, Israel gathered in one place, in Goshen. And they begin to pray because they know that the hour was at hand. Because they knew something was there. The deliverer had already come. God was working. Doing things, showing what he was going to do. They come from all parts of Egypt. Just like they will at the day of his coming. They come out of the Methodist, the Baptist, the Lutheran. All those who are identified with Christ by the token. God will take them with him when he comes. Amen. We come from different denominations, brothers and sisters. Lutheran, Baptist, from different Pentecost. But we've all left our associates and we are gathered in Goshen for the Exodus, the final Exodus at the end time. Hallelujah. And those was the prophet of God that planted the seed of judgment for Los Angeles to sink beneath the ocean. Amen. Judgment has been pronounced upon Los Angeles. He says, when I was in the last meeting at California while speaking, I didn't know nothing happened till I got down in the street. So that wasn't Brother Branham speaking, but it was God coming to bring judgment upon the west coast of America. He said, Capernaum, Capernaum, the city that's called by the name of the angels. You've exalted yourself into heaven, but you'll be brought down into hell. For if the mighty works had been done in Sodom, that's been done in you, it would have been standing today. Now the last few days, the great roaring and popping. Then here come the paper sign says it's all honeycomb. It's got to go under. They just know it. And you watch. The water will come plumb back into the Salton Sea. Los Angeles is doomed for judgment. I tell you before it happened, that you may know when it does. I never spoke that by myself. And I've had never had him to tell me one thing but what it happened. So there's no maybe about it, whether or not it will. It has to go. It's going to happen.
Amen.
Thus saith the Lord, has pronounced judgment upon the west coast.
Amen.
And you can be a record of that. This is what he says. I went out and they told me what I said. And I listened, went back and searched the scriptures. And Jesus said, almost in them same words about Capernaum and Sodom and Gomorrah was in the bottom of the sea, I suppose then. And later, about 100 years later, Capernaum slid into the ocean, into the sea. And the same God that put Sodom in the sea for its sins, the same God that put Capernaum in the sea for its sins, that same God
will put Los Angeles in the sea for its sins. Once I heard a newscast that science predicts that there's a 99.7% chance that Los Angeles will have a major earthquake within the next 30 years. That's very close. Science are so set. They are so sure it must happen within the next 30 years. And Brother Branham, the Elijah prophet to the Gentiles, planted the seed of judgment. And this is significant because that the resurrection of Jesus took place with an earthquake. Amen. And under the sixth seal, Brother Branham says, the Lamb might come at any time to leave the sanctuary up there or the throne of sacrifice, come forth from the throne of God where the sacrifice laid, and then it's all over. There's no more hopes for the world. She's finished. Then she goes into frustrations of great spasms of earthquakes and great shakings like it was at the resurrection. And as Christ rose from the grave, when the saints rise, the same thing will take place. Could that big earthquake usher in this great resurrection of the bride? Lord, it could happen at any minute. We are watching for that glad day to arrive. Take your children under your arms, Father, now. Draw your little lambs to your bosom. Grant it, Lord, and feed them the word till their strength for service. Amen. Amen. In 1964, Brother Branham made a statement. Now, this is very outstanding. Amen. In the message called Thinking Man's Filter, he says here, blind Pharisees, Jesus says, Jesus cried, blind Pharisees, the Holy Spirit in my own heart tonight cries, blind Laodicea, how of God would have given you a revival, but now your time has come. It's too late now. How did you laugh and make fun of the people that God sent to you? But now your time has come. Oh, United States, United States, how did God would have hovered you as a hen does a brood, but you would not. Now this voice is going from coast to coast. Amen. From north to south, from east to west. How God would have hovered you, but you would not. Now your time has come. This is what he says. Nations are breaking. The world is falling apart. 1,500 miles chunk of it. 300 or 400 miles wide will sink. Maybe 40 miles down to the Great Fault. Now, Brother Branham made this statement in 1964. Out yonder one of these days, the waves will shoot plumb out, amen, to the state of Kentucky. And when it does, it will shake the world so hard that everything on top of it will be shaken down. Now, he says here in 1964, 40 miles it will go beneath to that fault. Here's an article by David Pullman, the Chronicle of Science editor, which was done in the year 2004. He says, seismic researchers are monitoring the strange vibrations closely, but whether the faint underground tremors termed chatter by some seismologists portend an increased likelihood of a major quake in the area is an unsolved puzzle. He says, the episodes of chatter has from 4 to 20 minutes and is being recorded from as deep as 40 miles beneath the ocean. In the year 1964, Brother Branham says it's 40 miles beneath the fault. Here scientists come and confirm what he already saw then. They have now got the instruments to measure 40 miles beneath the surface. Up to 4 times the depth of normal earthquakes, which originates in that what scientists call the seismogenic zone. That zone reaches no deeper than 9 to 10 miles below the Earth's surface. What was striking is the deep tremors like the Cholom series, which have never been recorded before. It has never been like that before. See? On strike, slip fault such as the St. Andreas, Nado said, we see this kind of a tremor activity inside volcanoes like Mount Selena. Nado said, but that's due to the movement of the rising magma and the tremors we've recorded. There's no evidence of a volcanism, no seismic waves typical of an ordinary earthquake.
Brother and sister, it's going to happen. Amen. Our prophet says here, 40 miles down that great fall. They could have laughed at him then. But when they've got, had the instruments to measure it, they discovered it's exactly according to the word of the prophet. Out yonder one of these days, the waves will shoot plumb out to the state of Kentucky. And when it does, it will shake the world so hard that everything on top of it will shake down. Oh, hide me in the rock of ages. Breathe upon me, Lord, Spirit of the living God. Breathe on me. Let me take God's filter and live under that. Lord, let me breathe the fresh air of the Holy Ghost into my lungs, in my soul each day, that I sin not against you, O Lord. Breathe on me, the Holy Spirit. Is that your desire tonight? Breathe on me, the Holy Spirit. Brother and sister, God has given us, He's extended His right hand of mercy. He has given us His protection. And His protection is the blood of His Son. Amen. The token for this day, the literal life of Jesus Christ, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the very person of Jesus Christ coming into the heart of the believer. Brother and sister, we have the answer to the devil's question. To the world out there, it's the end, it's judgment. It's fearful signs. Men's hearts are trembling for fear. But to the bride, hallelujah, it's a day of revival. It's a day of rejoicing. Why? It's because it's a day of our deliverance. Amen. That's why the prophet to the Gentiles, amen, under the seventh seal, Jesus calls it the beginning of sorrows. But we find on the other side of the rapture, there are two prophets on the other side, Moses and Elijah, under the sixth seal. They bring on the great tribulation period. Hallelujah. That is why those global warmings and things that's happening, brother and sister, that science are so concerned about, it's too late. This has become a global concern. It's become a global disaster. Their hands are tied. Nobody can do anything about it. But praise God, brother and sister, it is all worked together for the good. It's all worked together for the final exodus of the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. We welcome this great day. We are rejoicing in what is happening around us. There's a revival in the hearts of the believer. Why? These signs are showing us, brother and sister, the day it could happen at any time. Any moment it could strike. But the thing is, we've got to be ready when it happens. And God has sent us a message. If there's ever people that has got no reason to be unprepared, it's the bride of Jesus Christ. God has sent her a message of preparation. The marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready. Amen. The Gentile days are numbered with horrors and comfort. Doesn't bring fear, brother and sister, but it brings an expectation. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Hallelujah. It's a day of revival. Amen. God bless you. Shall we all stand? The day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trim and clear. Look up, your redemption is near. The day of redemption. The day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Your lamps trim and clear. Look up, your redemption is near. Shall we bow our heads? Most gracious God and eternal Heavenly Father, truly, O God, this is a great day. As your prophet said, O God, we are living in a glorious day. It's never been a day, O God, ever as it's been today, Lord. Father, we see your word, O God, unfolding. We see, O God, nature groaning, Lord. We see the signs that are upon us, O God, in this late hour.
Lord, we see the horrors, O God, as awaiting the world, Father. But tonight, O God, as the bride of Jesus Christ, we are so thankful, O God, that you've sent us a prophet that could come, O God, and tell us the signs of the time to prepare the people, O God, for this great exodus here at the end time. And truly tonight, O God, we see the signs of the exodus around us, Lord. We see the fulfillment of your word, O God, in this last day. And truly our hearts are blessed tonight to realize, O God, we are a part of this great move, Lord. We are a part of the moving of your Spirit, Lord. Part, O God, of the fulfillment of those great promises that you made in the end time. I pray tonight, your God, for each and every one that heard your word tonight. May you come and bless each and every one, Lord. Maybe there were things, questions we might have had, Lord, and maybe something that was said, O God, just to encourage someone here tonight. Lord, just make us grow closer to you, O God, in this late hour. May you bless each and every one tonight. May you grant every need tonight. May you meet every saint's desire tonight, Father. We thank you for your goodness, O God. We thank you for Malachi 4. We thank you, dear God, for the prophet of this day, Lord. For this great condescension, O God, this great unveiling at the end time. Father God, you just put our heart at rest, Lord. Truly, O God, is a day of shalom to us, O God, to the bride of Christ. To the world is a day of judgment, O God, the one who came with that white wig, Lord. With the final authority, O God, the one with the final word. He has declared us spotless, O God, blameless, the elected lady, O God. But to the world, he has pronounced judgment. Lord, how thankful we are for your goodness, O God, in this day. May you bless each and every one tonight as we thank you for your word in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. All nations are breaking. Israel's awakening. The sign that the prophets foretold. The Gentile days numbered with horrors encumbered. Returnity soon will unfold. Well, the day of redemption is
take your Bible, turn to Psalms 27. I want you to look at how many times, how many remember what verse of Scripture this was read in the context in the sermon that Brother Branham preached. Which sermon did he preach? The rapture. And he, of all messages, to use this Scripture. But I want you to see how it is your day. It is our day. It is right now. How many believe that what our Brother Errol said about the five stars that came in Jesus' day, and those five stars lined up in our day? Five stars in Jesus' day was heralding the coming of the Messiah. The five stars in our day are heralding the coming of the Messiah in bride form. So the five stars in Jesus' day was the groom. The five stars today is the bride. How many believe there's been an invisible union with the groom and the bride? And it's during that age, it's that time, That is his coming time. And so we're not waiting for his coming. That what is the coming of the Lord? In Jesus' day, it was the maturation, the maturing of an infant. Is that right? And now this is the maturing of an infant church. Jesus had to go, he had to be a child. Ananias saw him. Anna saw him. At 12, he was debating with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. At 30, he was conflicting with the devil. And he was going through his ministry for 3.5 years. That was Jesus maturing. Is that right? And that was called the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord wasn't in a moment's time. Can you say amen? The coming of the Lord went on for years and years and years. But it was still the coming of the Lord. And that's what we're enjoying today. An infant church, five stars heralding her coming. What her coming? Christ coming in bride form. And now that infant church is growing up. She's becoming a beautiful bride. For the bridegroom, the headstone's coming down. She's maturing. The capstone of love is appearing on that bride. Can you say amen? She has made herself ready. And look at this scripture. I want you to look at this scripture. I want you to ask yourself to be sure that you're not one filled with fear. Because look at this scripture. It says, the Lord is my light. Can you say amen? And He is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Can you say amen? Whom shall I be afraid? There it is again. Who's the strength of your life? The Lord is the strength of your life. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came up upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and... Is that your testimony? They can come nigh your dwelling, that's for sure, but they're going to stumble and fall. Though an host should encamp against us, against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Hallelujah. I believe Christ has found His temple. One of the greatest revelations you'll ever receive is the revelation of Christ in you personally. That's the greatest revelation, that the gates of hell cannot prevail against, is the revelation of Christ in you, the hope of glory. I want us to read this together. And you know, when we gain opportunity, if the service will allow us, we're going to read this scripture. We may do it for 2 years or 10 years if the Lord should tarry. And I want us to get a hold and get a grip on this scripture so that by the time a year goes by, we won't even have to open our Bibles. We'll know this scripture, which is our scripture. It's the rapture scripture. And what I see too much in the message, and Brother Branham saw it in his day, there's too much fear in the Church of the Living God. They worry, you know, people come or people go, they look at the pews. You don't look at the pews. Don't look down, look up. You look at this problem, that one's sick and dying. Don't look at that. I don't care how many shipwrecks along the way. God, the ship of Zion's going to caress every way. Say what the Word says. Look what it says here now. I want us to quote it together. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Lord Jesus, thank You, God Almighty, for stirring up our pure minds by remembrance and way of Your precious and wonderful Word through our brother Peterson. God bless him for coming and devoting this time with us. And God, that we can spread our net together, bring our licks of fire together to let the Word of God do what it's called to do, and that's to raise our faith. And God, we know that faith cometh by hearing, in hearing by the Word of God. So God, we thank You for that. We thank You for what You're doing in our lives. And Lord Jesus, help us to literally embody these scriptures that we've just read. God, that when the fear comes or doubt or worry, that we'll come back to these verses and know that these are our rapture verses. The Lord is here, present in His bride. The coming of the Lord is over time, but the rapture will be in the moment of a twinkling of an eye. He comes, and He may be here for a while in bride form, but when we go, it'll be instantaneous. Lord Jesus, may You bless every heart and life. God, I believe your bride is maturing. She's learning not to look by the eye or by the senses or by the feelings or emotions, but she's standing squarely on the Word of God. Jesus didn't look to the bread. He didn't look to reasoning on the Mount of Temptation. He didn't fall off that cliff and have the angels bear him up. Lord, he stayed with the Word, word by word. And God Almighty, I pray in the name of Jesus that we will learn to become people of faith, rock solid in what has been sent in this last day. And you said, before the coming of the great, before the coming of the great and dreadful day, I will send you Elijah the prophet. Elijah has come and Elijah has gone. And we now know we're living in that pre-tribulation period of the great and dreadful day. It's great for the bride. It's dreadful for the world. And so, Lord Jesus, God, as you have allowed us to be light, may we bear that torch. God, may we touch lives. We know we live in an age of apathy and insincerity where people are hardly able to be reached, Lord God. They're gloomy, sleepy, drowsy, and incapable of hardly hearing. They're dull of hearing. But God, we know that we are still called to prophesy again. We have not just read a book, we have eaten the book. So God, it is our desire, Lord Jesus, not to intellectualize the message, but to become one with the Word, one with Christ. So God, we thank you for the good Word of God tonight. Lord, bless us, we pray. As we bless you, we thank you, Father, for what you're doing in our hearts and our lives. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You love him tonight? Let's just sing a song as we dismiss you in the name of the Lord. Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Can you say that's true of your life? Amen. God bless you. Pray for me. Like I said, I got a lot on my heart for Sunday that God will have his way in our hearts and our lives. Oh, Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Oh, Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. You have done what this world could not do. You healed my body when I was sick. You've surely been good to me. Oh, you healed my body when I was sick. You've surely been good to me. You healed my body when I was sick. You've surely been good to me. You have done what this world. Think about it. Lord, Lord, Lord.
Consecrate our lives fresh to you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh Lord, you're beautiful. Your face is all I seek. Let's sing that as we dismiss you in the name of the Lord.
Oh Lord, your beauty flows.
Hallelujah.
Your face is all I see. For when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me.
Hallelujah.
That was burned bright and clear.
Hallelujah.
Replace,
yes,
the lamb.
Hallelujah.
Of my first love that burns with hope.
That's just wonderful. Let's sing it to him now.
Oh Lord, yes, your beauty.
Isn't he wonderful? Thank you, Jesus.
Your face, it is all I see. Are on this child, your grace abounds to me.
Please light that fire.
That once burned bright and clear, replaced, oh yes, the lamp of my first love that burns with holy.
One more time, I'd like you just to bow your heads for just a moment. I just feel to pray for perhaps some individuals here that are right now that have been way too up and down, inconsistent in your walk. And you know that you have had so many fears and doubts and tremendous amount of discouragement as a result of those doubts and those fears. And the devil has simply beat you up. And if I've described you, I just want you to raise your hand because I'd like to pray for you. God bless you. Don't you want to quit that? Don't you want to overcome that by God's grace? God bless you. The devil's a liar, isn't he? And you have to believe that. I know he is. You know he is. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. So we're not going to identify with what the devil has tried to place into your mind. We're going to identify with the word of the living God. That word has freed you. That word has liberated you. That blood has cleansed you. That this word that you've sat under tonight and have sat under for years is washing you. Now, you are a bride. You are the sons and the daughters of Almighty God. It's time for you to look in the mirror, and the mirror can't lie. The mirror says you're a daughter. You're a son of God. And you just ask now, Lord, right now, Lord Jesus, forgive me for my doubtings. Forgive me for my fears. Forgive me for my unbelief. God, take it far from me. Lord, let me right now have what a prophet called a Welch revival. Let me as an individual come to you with a greater faith than I've ever had before. Lord Jesus, I pray now that you'd wipe away their past. May they put their past in the past. May they put their life under the blood of Jesus Christ. May you wipe the slate entirely clean. Lord God, may they recognize that we are your victory. Lord God, we're not a church that's backslid, a people that's slothful. We are the bride of Jesus Christ. We are not Laodicean. We are not lukewarm. Lord God, if there's any lukewarmness, take it out of us. God, because we don't desire to be that way. If there's any here that need eye salve, God, may they put that eye salve of the Word of God. Lord, if their hearts have been opened right now, may they just now, God, let you have preeminence in their heart and their life right now. God, may they come. Lord, may you come and dwell in their heart is our prayer right now. Lord Jesus, we ask, Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you'd meet every need of every hand that was raised. God Almighty, whether Satan comes and you wait for a long time, you just hold on to the promise. God is true to his word. He is true to his covenants. He is not a man that he will lie. He cannot lie. Hold on to the word of God. And Lord Jesus, I pray for those that have been up and down, very inconsistent in their walk. God, that they'll now sit down beside shady green pastures, beside still waters. Lord, may they find themselves now in the company of believers, in the company of saints, not mingling with the world, Lord Jesus, not sitting in the seat of the scornful, but Lord Jesus, being able to, with a rejoicing heart, with a heart of peace, with a heart of shalom and rest, Lord God, be able to eat from the fruit of that tree, Lord Jesus. God Almighty, we thank you for the bride's tree. And Lord Jesus, I thank you that I look across this canvas right here of people, and I know that I'm looking at Jesus Christ in bride form, the infallible God choosing to work through fallible flesh. God, I thank you for your ways are perfect. Lord Jesus, I love you. We love you. As a people, Lord God, we consider times like this sacred. We consider these times very, very special. So God, every time we come to church, it's a sacred hour. So Lord Jesus, we want to take a hold of Lord Jesus and embrace, Lord God, what you've given to us. And God, I thank you for Brother Errol and the word that he brought tonight. God, just an enriching time of encouraging. God, bless every saint that came on this Wednesday night. Those that are listening by way of the internet, Lord God, I know each one of us can say our hearts are burning within us as he spake to us along the way. God, we know that even tonight you could come while two are in a bed, the other side of the world while two are in a field. Lord, we know that tonight you could actually come and rapture your bride. God, that which is on the inside of us, Lord God, will a glorified body may very well very soon materialize around that word we're holding in our heart. So God, we want to live each day as if it were going to be the last one. We thank you, Father, for this time together in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. How many feel all washed out by the word? Amen. Praise God. Amen. I dismissed you three times, but let's sing another song. And I dismissed you with this one too. The days I've wasted are not few but many, but I'm praying for a difference in my life. Fill me with thy Holy Spirit. I don't remember if we've got it on there. I hope we do. I think we do. I want to live each day as if the last one, and I want the truest values in my life. For one day it will surely be my last one, and I will have to leave this world behind. It won't be long before the coming judgment, and I'll appear for deeds that I have done, and give account for idle words I've spoken, and be judged on how I have received the Son.
That will be.